thankful that it's paid in full. Amen. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm glad that he left nothing wanting. Amen. There's a lot of people, and even some that come in and think that he paid most of it, but not all of it. Amen. And I'm so thankful that it's paid in full. Got a blessing tonight. Brother Mullins is in, and we have worked him since he's been back. Amen. I didn't know, brother, even when I asked you, that I heard that you preach Senior Patriots as well. Amen. So we saddled you right up as soon as you got here. Amen. And so what a blessing. You come and preach to us, my brothers. You're doing a great job on the mission field. Our sent missionary, and is a blessing. And as I said this morning, one of the things that we desire to do is not just send missionaries around the world, but we want missionaries that are going to plant churches just like this one. And this is one of our missionaries that's doing it. Amen.
Thank you.
Well, good evening. It's good to be with you this evening. Amen. It's an honor to be here to begin your missions conference. Amen. That's a blessing. Missions conference week is always an exciting time. Amen. Always was for me. Amen. When I was in Bible college 20 years ago here at Landmark, and I and my wife have had the great privilege to be missionaries for 17 years, and we serve in the country of Chile, and God has done just tremendous things through the years and the work down there, and we are, of course, back here just for a short trip, and we'll be going back on Thanksgiving, to be honest with you. It's kind of a strange day to be flying back, but we'll be going back here in just about 2.5 weeks or something. But thank you so very much for your prayers for us, for Marta, during this difficult time. And we're here with a couple of folks from our church as well, amen. And Marta said, we're going to set up a display board, right? And I said, yeah, I guess we are. I said, we can put some prayer cards back there on it. We didn't really bring a lot of stuff. We can set up a little something. I said, you know what? Better than that, we brought some Chilenos. We put them back there beside the board, amen? And so you can talk to them, and you can try to learn Spanish from them. They don't speak much English, amen? Probably not even one word, amen? It's amazing. The further that you get deep into Latin America, the less English-speaking people you're going to find, amen? Now, you probably go across the border to Mexico and find a lot of people that speak English, amen? But it's not like that the deeper you get down into South America, amen? I mean, just no English down there, amen? And we're excited to have them here with us, amen? And preacher, just to let you know, they're going to fix something for the banquet this Friday, amen? The international food, amen? And so Marta and her mother and her aunt, they've got all that stuff planned out exactly what they want to do, amen? So y'all make sure you eat some of their good cooks, too, believe me. I've been eating it for years, amen? I know, amen? And so, but thank you so very much for your kindness to us, and it's just a blessing to be here. It's a blessing to represent this church for so many years on the mission field, amen? And it never gets old, amen? Being in the service of our God, amen? And we're right there at that finish line, and we want to keep going, and we want to keep serving, and we want to keep reaching the lost. And the church in Chile has grown so much coming out of the pandemic. It's just amazing. We doubled, and then we tripled, and then we just keep growing. And they were giving me a report from this morning that the church was just packed out this morning. Maybe that's because I wasn't there, amen? But they're doing really, really well. And we really see a lot of folks saved just all the time. And we got a blessing because the church is in a good location. And so we get a lot of foot traffic. And so we get a lot of visitors. I mean, just about every service we have visitors, amen? And so the work is doing really good. We are continuing to build. We've got three separate buildings that are kind of tied together, so to speak, and we're still doing work on some of that, and we've got new roofs on two of the buildings, and I've got one other building that I still have to put a roof on, and it's got a roof on it, but it's just not doing real well, and I've got to get that done before winter comes next year and the rainy season. But we just have so much going on down there. Discipleship classes, married couple meetings, soul winning, all of our services, ladies meetings, youth stuff, just everything that you can imagine. It's a church that functions just like your church here in the States. We have all the same ministries, amen? We have the same conservative music. We have the same conservative dress. The only difference is it's in a different language and it's in a different culture, amen? And I know I'm supposed to preach on missions tonight. And I am going to preach on missions. And I'm not, I'm a missionary, but I'm not accustomed to preaching on missions. I don't go to the mission field and preach on missions. You know what we preach on in the mission field? Salvation. Amen. Amen. Doctrine. Amen. Throw some prophecy in there. Amen. You ask anybody in our church, they'll tell you all about the 7-year tribulation and the 1,000-year millennial reign. Amen. Amen. And so I just don't really preach a lot on missions conferences, to be honest with you. And since Chile is so far from the United States, we really don't come back that often because it's a long, miserable trip. Amen. So we just kind of stay down there. Amen. But I do have something tonight I think will be a blessing to you. So if you've got your Bibles, let's go to the book of Acts, to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. And I'm going to bring a thought to you on the first missionary. Amen. The first missionary. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Preacher sent me a message last night at 10 o'clock last night. I was about ready to cut the lights out. Amen. And I'm serious. And in come that message. Marta said, "That's the phone." And I picked up. She said, "No, it's the church phone." Oh. I picked the church phone up. And he said, "Brother Mullins, you're preaching tomorrow night." Amen. I spent the whole afternoon in preparation. Amen. But we did have a good service this morning over in the Spanish church. Amen. Two folks were saved over there, one before the service and one during the invitation. That was a blessing, amen? Acts chapter 8. I'm going to begin reading in verse 26. I'm not going to really read the whole story here. I'll read down through a number of verses. It's a very familiar story. I think it'll be a help to you. Acts chapter 8. I'm going to begin reading in verse 26. And the Bible says, I still hear your pages. Amen. Everybody's there? Verse 26. The Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Esaias, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this, And he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken from him, what taken away, and who shall declare his generation?" That, of course, this is Isaiah. "For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word tonight. I ask God in heaven that you would cleanse me, Lord God, of self, and fill me with the Holy Spirit, and help me to be a blessing, God, to your people and to your church tonight. Lord, let this passage of Scripture come alive in our minds and our hearts, Lord God, and let it do a special work. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I've, like many of you, most of you have read the book of Acts many, many times, have taught the book of Acts. And it never gets old when you go to stories like this and you begin to slow down as you read it and you pick out certain words, and you really think about what's happening in that particular verse or in that particular part of the verse. And it really just kind of makes the whole story come a little bit more alive to you. I see a couple of things here. The first thing I want to mention to you, I'm going to relate this to missions, but in chapter 26, the first thing I see, it says, "And the angel of the Lord spake." And then in verse 29, it says, "Then the Spirit said unto him." Now, the angel of the Lord and the Spirit is really one and the same. It was the angel of the Lord that spoke to Moses in the burning bush. Amen. It's the angel of the Lord that encampeth around about them that fear him. I mean, so we're talking about the Lord God of heaven conveying a message directly to Philip. And it's amazing if you think about how God leads men, how God leads people, how God was directing Philip in this passage to someone who is in need of the gospel. You know that we serve a God that even today is in the directing business. That we serve a God even today that is leading men and women to do great things for him. We have to be so sensitive to the leading of God's Spirit in our life. And the only way that is going to be accomplished, the only way that is even possible, is if you stay deeply rooted in the Word of God, in study, and in prayer. It's those two things combined that is going to build a relationship between you and your God and allow Him to speak directly to your heart and guide you in the things that He would have you to do. I know that in the day and time that we live in, God doesn't so much as speak in an audio voice. I mean, he may. I'm not going to limit God. He can do whatever he wants. I might be a little bit freaked out if he could talk to me verbally. Amen. But I would be okay with that. Amen. But for the most part, God is going to speak through his Spirit that lives inside of you. Hey, and I found out that God speaks through his Word. Oh, mercy. But you got to spend time in the Word, amen, if you want God to speak to you through his Word. He leads and he guides and he directs through the Word of God. Anytime I've got a problem, I run to the Word of God. Anytime I have a need, I run to the Word of God. Anytime I need direction, I run directly to the Word of God. And I begin reading. I read a lot in the Proverbs. I find that I need a lot of wisdom, amen? And the Proverbs is just full of everything that a man needs to live the Christian life here in this earth. But I tell you, I find here that God was leading Philip. And I want you to notice something here. It's interesting. In verse 29, he says this. In verse 29, he says, "Then the Spirit said unto him, Philip, go near and," watch this, "join thyself to this chariot." Notice the words, "join thyself." You know, as missionaries, we really forfeit a lot of things. If I could put the missionary life really in one word, and there's a lot of things that describe it, but if I could really put it in one word, it would be the word sacrifice. A missionary on the field lives his life in sacrifice for a greater good, for the service of our God. He says to Philip here, "Join thyself." You know what missionaries really do when they go to the foreign field? They join themselves to that country. They join themselves to that culture. They join themselves to that language. And sometimes it's not very comfortable, but we do it for the sake of the gospel. We join ourselves. Amen. I've got a missionary friend of mine up in Peru, northern Peru, and I was up there a few years ago, and in northern Peru, they eat guinea pig. Anybody eating a guinea pig? It's called cuy, amen? And they said, "Brother Mike, you've got to eat it. You're going to love it, amen?" I've ate a lot of strange things in my life, from gator to black bear and gopher turtle. And I've ate a lot of strange things. So I said, "Well, you know, guinea pig, that's probably not too hard. I can do this, amen?" And so they bring it out on the plate to me, and it was a big old rat, about that big. Some people keep them for pets here in the United States. They didn't cut his head off. They didn't cut his legs off. Even his teeth were there. Right there on the plate, amen? And I'd mostly done it for the photo. You know, I got the photo, amen? But it wasn't particularly good, to be honest with you. They said it tastes like chicken, but it really just kind of tastes like rat, amen? But Brother Rich, amen, who was a missionary in that area, he loved that stuff. I said, "Man, they got this man thinking that rat is good, amen." He had joined himself to those people. He really had, amen. And so as a missionary, you have to become one of them, amen. You don't want to be the outsider, amen. You want to become one of them. You don't have to partake in their sin, amen? But you have to become one of them. You have to love their food. You have to love their culture, love their people, love their children, love their families, amen? And take them the Word of God. You have to actually become one of them, amen? And I think that that's what missions is just kind of joining yourself to a group of people that God has called you to. And if God has called you there, you're going to find it a lot easier to do.
Amen.
I can tell you the truth. Sometimes the vain glory of being a missionary will not last very long. That's why we have missionaries that go to the field and they stay for 2 or 3 years. And the next thing you know, they're missing mom and daddy and they're coming home. Amen. You've got to be called or you will not stay. Amen. Because it's going to get hard. It's going to get difficult. It's going to get lonely. Amen. There's no Revival Fires conferences there. Amen. There's no Sword of the Lord conferences there. Amen. Hey, you don't get invited to preach at other people's missions conference. No. Amen. It's you and whatever you can do for your people, you're the man of God. Amen? And that's missions. It can be a little bit lonely. It can be a little bit discouraging at times. But you have to be a little bit like David. You have to encourage yourself in the Lord. Amen? And if you will join yourself to those people, to their culture, to their language, I promise you that God will use you to build a massive work for His honor and for His glory. Yeah. You know, I went to the mission field. Went to Santiago. Our second church is in Santiago, Chile, and it was in the Spanish language. And when I got to Chile, I did not speak Spanish. Not more than about 2 words, anyway. Water and fire. That's really all I failed Spanish in Bible college. I'm dead serious. I am not joking. I failed Spanish when I was in Bible college. That is a story in and of itself, amen? But I didn't speak Spanish when I got there. And you know what? I just buckled down and humbled myself, amen, and learned the language, joined myself to the culture, and God has just done something above and beyond anything that I could even imagine possible. We go to church every week in Santiago, Chile, and the house is just full of people. They just come from everywhere. Amen. And I preach and they come back. And I preach again and they come back. Amen. And they just love us to death. Amen. We've become one of them. Amen. And so that's really what you have to do. And another thing about the Spirit leading, I'm going to show you a verse here in Acts chapter 13. And you're going to find two men that were sent out by God. In Acts chapter 13, I'm going to probably go to about verse 2. And it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, and I want you to notice the Holy Ghost only spoke after they were already ministering, after they were already serving. And you're going to find the same thing in the life of Philip in just a few minutes. He was already doing it when God called him. It says here, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. Notice the wording, the work that I have called them. You see, God calls a man. God calls a family to go to the mission field, to serve, and to give their life. And I think when you do that, you have to join yourself to them. If you're always the one on the outside looking in, you're never going to make it. I heard a missionary one time, it was actually his wife, and she had made this statement, and we were talking, and it was just off-the-cuff statement, and it was about the food in the country where they had just started to serve. And she made this statement, and she said, and the food is disgusting. A red flag went off in my mind, and I said, those folks are not going to make it. No. And they didn't. Not for very long. Because, see, they didn't join themselves to that country. They didn't join themselves to that culture. And even, really, to that food. Yeah. Speaking of food, we've been taking Marta's mother and her aunt and uncle to some of the restaurants here. And They're not used to eating like this. That's good eating. We took them to Sonny's. I took them to Sonny's. You know that big plate that you can eat for four or five people? It's more expensive than it was last time I was here. Amen. And we went to Sonny's. Amen. And then we went to all you can eat Chinese buffet. Mercy. They like to come unglued. Amen. And then it gets even better. Amen. And then we went to Cracker Barrel. Amen. When we come out of Cracker Barrel, Nolo, short for Manuel, Nolo said to me, he said, "I think I was born in the wrong country." That's what he said to me. Yeah, brother. Amen. But so you got to join yourself to him. Amen. And another thing I see here in the scripture is the urgency. Now, notice here in verse 30, it says this, "And Philip, as after the Spirit called him, go near, join yourself to that chariot, In verse 30, it says, "And Philip ran thither to him." He didn't waste any time. He got right to it. Once he knew what God wanted him to do, he got right to the work. He didn't waste no time. When I knew exactly what God wanted me to do when we started our first church, I didn't waste any time. I didn't even waste time on deputation. We had two supporting churches and went and started our first church. Amen. And we didn't waste any time at all. When I knew that God wanted me in Chile, we didn't waste any time at all. We got right to it. And I believe that there is an urgency about what God wants you to do. I believe there's an urgency when it comes to world missions. I believe that you'll find an urgency all throughout the Bible. Statements like, "I'm coming soon." Statements like, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Statements like, "I'm coming quickly." Amen? I mean, you're going to find an urgency all throughout the Bible. And I think that we're in those last days. I think that we are in that last generation. I think that the Lord is coming back soon. I think there's multitudes and multitudes of people that still have not had the opportunity to be saved, or still are not saved. There's so many people that need to be saved. The gospel is so precious to us, but we've got to get it out there to the masses of people. Can I tell you that in the United States of America, there's Baptist churches on almost every corner? It's not like that on the mission field. It's just not. The Catholic Church controls Latin America. The Vatican controls Latin America. It does, amen? They need the gospel. They need missionaries. They need people that will go and join themselves to them and their culture and their language and love them and teach them and help them and stay when the going gets tough. Yeah, that's what they need. There's an urgency to it. There's an urgency to it. And then I see another thing here in the context here. Look at verse 27. In verse 27, it says this, "And had come to Jerusalem for to worship." The Ethiopian eunuch was at Jerusalem to worship. That means he was a religious person. Amen? Can I tell you that all throughout Latin America, it's full of religious people? Now, there's a big difference in saved people and religious people. See, religion is up here in your mind, amen? Right. That's your book knowledge. Oh, Jesus died on the cross, turned the water into wine. Hey, I know those things, amen? That's religion, amen? The Catholic people know that stuff. They're religiously lost, but they don't have a relationship in their heart. Amen. There's a distance between the mind and the heart. I don't know, 6 or 7 inches or something. But there's a whole lot of people that's going to spend an eternity in a devil's hell for that little distance right there between the mind and the heart. I tell you, religion won't save anybody. All over the country of Chile, you're going to find Catholic churches. You're going to find 100 times more Catholic churches than any other type of religious organization in the country of Chile. And it's not just Chile. It's every country in Latin America. Communism also. The Catholic Church is the dominating factor in culture, in life, in politics. They control everything. But I tell you, Catholic people can get saved. Catholic people can receive the gospel and be born again. I have seen it time and time again. Some of the best folks that I have in my church were former Catholics. Yeah. I've had folks walk in our church that has never in their entire life set foot in any other church other than a Baptist or other than a Catholic church. We're talking people 50 and 60 years old because there's just not any options down there. You people may know one or two missionaries in Chile, but what is one or two missionaries among thousands and thousands of cities throughout the country? I know multitudes of cities in Chile, bigger than Haines City, with no Baptist churches, with no light, with nobody preaching the gospel. The need is phenomenal. There is a religious man here. And now notice what he says in verse 31. This is interesting. He says, Philip asked him, he said, understandest what thou readest? And he said this, he said, how can I except some man should guide me? Now this is an adult. This is a religious man. This is an intelligent man. I mean, he had a very high position underneath the queen. This is not a dummy. This is a very intelligent person. And he said that he couldn't understand these spiritual writings. Can I tell you that Chile is full of people that do not understand the gospel of Jesus Christ? They're so confused and wrapped up with the teachings of the Catholic Church, they just don't understand. You know what they really need? They need folks that will just go and tell them and explain it to them. Learn their language and help them. And you will be amazed that they'll get saved. Yeah. You'll be amazed that they want to get saved. They want to know what the truth is. They want to know about Jesus. They know that the Catholic Church is full of problems. They know it's full of lies. They know it's full of dangers. But they don't have any other options. Amen? They need folks like you guys. Huh? Why waste your time here in America when there's a Baptist church on every corner? And go to the mission field. It's white unto harvest. You will see hundreds of people saved all of the time. Yeah. The mission field, brothers. That's where it's at. That's that last harvest field, amen, before Jesus comes back. And I know you see some folks saved here in the United States, but I tell you, the United States is changing. It's not the same United States that many of you grew up in. No, it's a God-rejecting place. Yeah. It's a heresy place, amen? Hey, go somewhere where they haven't been contaminated with Hollywood, amen? Yeah, and they'll receive the word of God with gladness. He was a religious man. Notice something else. In verse 35, this is what Philip said to him. Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. You know, that has to be the main topic of our teaching on the mission field, is the true, unwatered down doctrine of Jesus Christ. Him born of a virgin. Him dying on the cross of Calvary for man's sins. Him resurrecting from the grave after 3 days. That has to be the focus. But we teach everything else in between. I mean, from Genesis to Revelation. People on the mission field, even though, and there's some very intelligent people, even though they speak a different language, they're intelligent people. They will understand if you'll teach them the book of Revelation. They will understand about the creation if you'll teach it to them. They will understand about salvation by grace if you'll teach it to them. And you don't even have to be perfect teacher. Amen. You don't have to be perfect. Amen. They'll sense your love and your compassion and your desire that you want them to, and they'll just go right along with it, brother. Amen? Yeah. They'll begin to help you. I'm discipling a guy right now that I led to the Lord. He got saved in one of our church services here recently. And he's a smart guy. He owns a company down there, and he's got about 25 men that work for him, and they fabricate this stuff that they use when they get copper out of the ground. I don't know exactly what he does, but he fabricates stuff for a big company down there called Codelco. And so this guy gets saved, amen? This guy is a Roman Catholic all of his life, has never went to any other church, never. I mean, Mary, full of grace, I mean, that's him, amen? But I tell you what, I started a discipleship class with him. Basic stuff, born of God, amen? That's the title of it, born of God. I mean, stuff that you and I would consider so basic, amen? And he is just eating it up, amen? He told the other, I just never heard it like that before, amen? Wow, the class is so good, amen? It's just so interesting, amen? Stuff that we take for granted, stuff that's so common for you and I, amen? Yeah, the mission field. Amen. The mission field, it's a whole new world, amen? It's a whole new world, amen? Anything is possible. The biggest of churches, the smallest of churches. You can start a Bible college, amen? The sky's the limit, amen? For ministry on the mission field. Bus routes, Sunday school classes, youth programs. You can do it all, amen? You can do it all. And you can train others to help you. That's exactly what we're doing. We're training others, amen? I've got an assistant pastor now. I've had a few through the years. We've trained guys and let them go. I've got another man now that he's been working with me probably for almost a year now, a little over a year. And man, he's doing so good. Edward, preaching up a storm. Man, he's getting full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. People told me this morning, preacher, he preached good. Amen. Doing a good job. Amen. And he's so respectful. He's so humble. Pastor, anything you want me to do, I'm here. Comes early, stays late. Amen. I mean, just a worker. Amen. Just a worker. Amen. God let me. I'm going to let him take that church. Amen. That's what we're building up to. Amen. And but the mission field. What an honor and a privilege to be used of God. Amen. In that way. I want to read something to you in Philippians chapter 4. That I think will be a help to you. Philippians chapter 4. I don't have it marked either. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 16. Let me read a couple of verses to you. The Bible says this in Philippians 4:16. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Well, notice the wording, once and again, once and again. It's repetitive, amen? Like they did it frequently, once and again. I, when I read that, I don't even get the idea that they've done it twice. I get the idea that they've done it many times. Once and again, you sent. You know, you guys have a missions goal here, and you give to missionaries all of the time, right? I mean, you do it once and again. You do it this week, and then you do it again. You do it this month, and you do it again. Preacher says they're going to meet that goal, and you're going to do it again. Once and again. Notice what he says here. Not because I desire a gift. Paul says that giving that you're doing to the missionary is not a gift. Yeah. Notice that it's not a gift. Paul says here, and this is good. He says, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He says that you give as a church, collectively as a church, or individually as a person, that you give to missions, and that's what Paul was here. He was a missionary. He was receiving help from this church. Amen? He says, it's not a gift. He said, it's fruit that goes to your account. That means that each and every one of us have an account up in heaven. It's not like a bank account or a checking account that you'd have down here, but you can think of it like that. And when you give to world missions, when you give through the missions program of your church, Paul says that that fruit, that financial fruit gets added to your account up in heaven. So therefore, it's not a gift. It's something that's going on your account. It's something that's going on your ledger up in heaven. It's not a gift. And so when I read that, I think that's very interesting. Amen. That when I give, amen, it's going to me. I'm giving for my benefit later on. That's amazing. Amen. Now notice what he says here. He says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received, Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. He says that I have received from you over and over and over. We have had the honor and privilege of our lives to be missionaries sent out of this church for 17 years. And we have received, Pastor Carter, Pastor Morrison's, over and over and over every month for 17 years. Amen. The fruit that's getting added to the account of members in this church. That is amazing. Amen? Amen. That is amazing. You know, the Bible says that we are co-laborers with God. Amen. We work together. Right. You've got two options when it comes to world missions. We know that the Bible says that you have to go and you have to tell them. And you have to go where? That all the world. You have to go into all the world. That all the world might get saved. Not just Haines City. So the world is a very big place. And you have to go there. So if you're not willing to go, or you can't physically go, you have to help someone else go. And that's exactly how it works. And that's what makes us co-workers together with God. You receive the fruit from those in Chile that are getting saved by your sacrificial giving. Can I tell you that before I learned the Spanish language and went to Santiago, Chile to start a church down there, I was very, very faithful in missions. I gave to missions. We believed in that. When I married my wife, I told her, I said, I think you're beautiful and I want to marry you, but I got three conditions. And she said, what is it? And I said, well, first of all, I'm a man of God and we're going to be faithful in God's house. Amen. God's called me to preach. Amen. So that's what we're going to do. Amen. Second of all, I said, we're going to tithe. Amen. Because that's what we're commanded to do. And third of all, we're going to give the missions. Amen. And she says, I already do all those things, so let's get married. Amen. And we've been married for 19 years. Amen. And so God is just good. And guess where I met her? Right here at Landmark. Good picking fields here, buddy. Yeah, it is. Good, good. Back in my days, now the college was a lot bigger and there was a lot more options, to be honest with you, man. But man, just this church has meant so much to me through the years, amen. I love it every time I get a chance to come back here. I am just so humbled when I get to come here and they ask me to preach. I'm just on cloud nine, amen. Preach at the Senior Patriots. Preach for the kids. Preach Sunday night. Preach Wednesday night. Hey, Brother Mike, you think you can do this? I can do it, amen. I can do it. As long as I've got strength and health in this body, bless God, if I get asked to preach, I can do it, amen. 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 I went home. I preached this morning in Spanish. That's hard preaching in Spanish and then turn around preaching in English, amen. You get tongue twisted, mind twisted. You really do, amen. And so I preached this morning in Spanish. And then I knew that I had to preach tonight, but I didn't know about it until 10 o'clock last night. And so I didn't have no time to study. I was already going out, amen, and I slept good, amen. But, and so when I got home from church this afternoon, while everybody else was taking their nap, old people, amen, you know what I was doing, right? Sitting at the dinner table studying for 2.5 hours, amen. Amen. I love it, amen, I love it. Because it's what I'm called to do. Brother Edward, the guy that I'm training down in Chile right now, I just can't brag on him enough. He's doing such a good job. I told him, I said, this is what you have to remember. You're a man of God. You're a man of God. Everything that you do and every decision that you make, you think of it. You make those decisions and you do those things in reflection of that, that you're a man of God. You have to guard your testimony, man of God. You have to learn the Word of God so that you can preach the Word of God, man of God. Amen? Yeah. You got to keep the family together. Amen? You got to keep them happy. Amen? You got to take care of them. Amen? Because if you don't take care of the family, the Bible says, how can you take care of the church of God? Amen? And so there's so many responsibilities, amen, for the man of God in the days that we live. But it's an exciting pair of shoes to have on. It really is. Amen? And God blesses in so many ways. Watch this. Your fruit is being added to your account when you give to missions. I know that I've heard for years that you should always try to up it a little bit, right? To be honest with you, throughout my life of giving to missions, and I've been giving to missions for a long time, I haven't always been able to afford to up it a little bit. Amen? But I've always tried to do the best that I can do. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Never down it. Amen. Never down it. Amen. But always try to do the best that I could do. Life will throw you some hurdles sometimes. There's some good days and there's some bad days and there's some ups and downs, amen? And life is not always sweet, and life many times is a struggle. But our God is so good and He's so sweet. I want you to notice something here. Let's go back over to Acts chapter 8. Notice what happens in the life of Philip. Now, Philip, of course, really is the first missionary that we're going to find here in the book of Acts. He's also the very first person that gets the title of evangelist. Notice what happens here. If you go back to verse 26, where we started at, when it says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip," back up to verse 25. Look at verse 25 and look what it says. "And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans." And now read verse 25 and verse 26 together. It's a continuing thought. It says, "And preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip." Who do you think was preaching in the villages of the Samaritans? Philip. Yeah. Yeah. When God starts looking for someone to use, He's going to use someone that's already doing it. Yeah. Yeah. You ever heard that saying that says when you want someone to help you do something, find somebody that's already very busy? Yeah. Don't find someone that's laid up in the house with a remote control in his hand. He's not going to get anything accomplished. Find somebody that's already doing it. And I find that in the Word of God, that's exactly what we find. You guys want to do something for God? I know you do. Do it now. Don't wait. Find somewhere to preach. There's all kinds of places that you can be preaching. Find somewhere to preach. And be very careful about who you make that lifelong commitment to. Because the Bible does say, "He that finds a wife findeth a good thing." Amen? But you want a wife that's gonna have a ministry mind, you know? And not all do. I've been around long enough to know that not all do. Amen? Yeah. The ministry's not easy. Amen. No. The ministry's not hard. And the position of pastor's wife can be very difficult, very demanding. Right. Yeah. And you got to have a good one. Because if you don't have a good one, it will affect your ministry big time. Amen. That's honest truth. Amen. I'm glad that God gave me a good one. To be honest with you, outside of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that all of the success, and if you could call it that, is because of that woman who has my back. Yeah. Amen. I know it's because of her. Because I would have dropped the ball 100 times over. Amen. I'm just not very good. Amen. Yeah, I would have fell on my face 100 times over. But she's always there to keep me going. And that motivates me. Amen. She makes me want to be better. Yeah. She really does. Amen. I am so humbled and honored. Missions. I love it. I love missions. I think everybody should have a heart for missions. I think if you're not going to go to the mission field to be a missionary, that you need to give to missions. This week, there's going to be a lot of missionaries coming in. Going to have preaching in the morning and preaching at nighttime. Take their cards. We got some back here on this table. Take their missionary cards. Get to know them. Love on them. Be nice to their children. Amen? These people are fixing to give up everything for the sake of the gospel. Many of these young missionary families have no idea what's in store for them. I do. 17 years. And can I tell you how many missionaries do not make it? And I don't want to scare you, but it's a lot. Because it's not easy giving up everything that you have in this country, amen, to go and reach a people that's not like you. It is sacrifice. But can I tell you, it is so rewarding. Thank you for giving to missions. Thank you for allowing folks like me, folks like us, Marta and I, both, who graduated this Bible college. Amen? Thank you for allowing us to serve for so many years as missionaries in Santiago, Chile. And I don't think that the Lord is done with us just yet. I do believe that God is coming and He's coming soon. And His reward is with Him. Can I read you something from a famous missionary that was said one time? And these words, they ring truth today. It's kind of like the quality of a man you're looking for. David Livingston was a great Scottish missionary that went to Africa. And he was writing a prayer letter back to his sending church, trying to get help, physical help, other people that would come to Africa and serve along with him. And this is what he said. He said, "If you have men who will only come if they know there is a good road, I don't want them. I want men who will come if there's no road at all." That's what David Livingston said. And I can tell you that this missionary road is a very difficult road, but it's a rewarding road. Amen? It's a road that will produce fruit. It will. It will produce fruit. Our church in Santiago, we struggled, like most people in the very beginning, to get people to come, to get people saved. And then it just started growing. And it started growing. And we started all types of ministry out of the church. And it just kept growing. And pretty soon the building was packed out. And now, today, we almost don't have enough room for everybody. And we fill up all of our buildings. Amen? God is good. You're talking about a redneck from North Florida. Amen? Don't know how he learned Spanish. Amen? God is good. Amen? Hey, what you want to invest in, not that I'm special, but you want to invest in missionaries that are going to go and just give everything. Amen? That's actually going to do the work. Amen? I personally, and there's a lot of different types of missionaries, but I personally believe that church planting needs to be the core of missionary work. If we're going to go to the mission field, if we're going to spend years over there, bless God, start a church. Amen? And I know that people go and they do a variety of different things. Amen? I understand that. Most of that stuff is local church ministry. Amen? But go over there and start a church. Church planting is not easy. Sometimes you're going to hear vainglory, and the people's going to say, I started 150 churches. Don't believe that kind of foolishness. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. You may have encouraged people to start 150 churches, but it takes years of your life of sacrifice to start one church. And believe me, I know, because we've started two from scratch. And both of those churches are very successful today, that own their own buildings, amen, and grow in ministries. And it takes years of work to get that accomplished. It really does. Support missionaries that are starting churches. You won't go wrong there. You really won't go wrong. This week, you're going to have some missionaries that's going to come in here. They're going to preach in your schools. They're going to preach in the morning. They're going to preach in the evening. Pick their minds. Get to know them. Amen? Get to know their families. Find out how God called them, why God called them. And you're going to begin to sense a passion that they have for those fields. And that's what you got to have. You got to have a passion. Because the minute that that passion wears off, guess what? Your family's coming back home. You got to keep the desire. You got to keep the passion. You got to see the need. Amen? And we keep going until Jesus calls us home. I just want to keep going for the Lord. I don't know what He has in store for us in the next 17 years. But I can just about suspect it's probably not much different than what we've been doing the past 17 years. Amen? God is so good. Amen? If you can't go, folks, help somebody else go. And fruit will be added to your account. God bless you. Amen? Thank you for allowing me to be here. Amen?
Let's stand to our feet tonight. And God called you to preach. You come. If you're here and you need to be saved, you come. Whatever God's asked you to do, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, is there anybody here tonight that would say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure of that. Would you slip your hand up so I could pray for you? Is there one anywhere like that tonight? All right, I want to pray for you. I'm not going to come to you, but what we'd really like is to see you step out and come to the front during this invitation. The invitation is to you. For you to step out and come and receive Jesus Christ. We don't want to go all the way around the world and miss someone that's right here in the building. If you're here and you need to be saved, you step out and come. But maybe you're here and God has burdened your heart for missions, whether you're going or sending or just supplying the need. Whatever it is, you step out and come, as Brother Bert sings.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender. I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender, make me Savior, wholly thine. May thy Holy Spirit thy power divine, I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Would you bow your head with me tonight and just, if God spoke to your heart tonight, would you slip up your hand? God burdened my heart for missions tonight in one of those ways. Amen. Let me see your hands tonight. Well, I wish you'd just pray and ask God to help you in that area. Maybe you came to the altar, maybe you didn't, but God would burden your heart even further through the week. Pray for missions this week. Boy, sometimes we're so guilty about when we think about our missionaries, it's only a time like this that we focus on those things. So let's pray tonight. We'll give you one more opportunity tonight. If God spoke to your heart and you need to be saved, need to come and pray and speak to Him tonight about something at the altar, why don't you step out and come as Brother Bert sings.
All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender.
Let's sing that verse with Brother Burton. Let's think about what we're saying. Amen. Let's sing it out and sing it like we mean it. Amen. And tonight when we're thinking about missions, boy, are we really, have we surrendered everything? Amen. And that'd be good for us tonight. Go ahead and lead us, my brother.
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.
We're going to let you remain standing for just a minute. We have something to share with you.